to the church colors, you might be aware that this is not a typical Sunday where we have red, which symbolizes the fire of the Holy Spirit. But in our journey through the Bible today, we're reading about the beginning of the early church, where God blesses us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And our second reading comes from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 37. Peter had just shared the gospel story for the first time. It says, "The people heard this and were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs that were being done by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." We give thanks to God for his word and invite you to be seated. As we transition into the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful ideas and scriptures in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so that we can support you on the journey. And as we get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your Spirit and your grace, so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. My family was reminiscing this past week and remembered a time when my son, Aiden, read scripture for one of our Christmas Eve services. He had just turned 9, and it was a big deal for him to read in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. Midway through the reading, he lost his place. He paused for a moment, then he looked up and asked, "Can I start over?" And he was asking me, but you could hear several people in the congregation shout out, "Yeah, yeah, you can do that." So I gave him the nod. He started over. This time, he read through the entire reading at one shot. After the service, so many people came up to me and said that they appreciated that moment with my son. And I think it's because all of us know what it's like to need a fresh start and a new beginning. We've encountered this theme over and over in God's storyboard. In case you haven't been with us, our church has been reading through the Bible together to better understand the larger story and how it connects with our lives. We're more than 3/4 of the way through. All along, we have seen that time and again, God's people get off track and need a new beginning. Thankfully, we have a God who gives new beginnings. It started way back at the beginning. If you've tracked with us, you might remember that in the beginning, God created human beings so that we could live in a close, loving relationship with God and God's people. Sadly, we turned away from God and tried to live life our own way. The consequences were devastating. People acted in ways that hurt God, hurt others, and hurt themselves. Unfortunately, we don't have to look far to find examples of pain and brokenness in our world today. Whether it be stories of terror on the news or moments of tension in our own family. We got off track. And God could have given up on humanity, but God mercifully chose to give us a new beginning. In that moment, God made a promise and launched a plan to get us back. Part of the plan involved building a brand new nation called Israel. But it didn't take long for that new nation to get off track. Way off track. And by the time we get to the end of the Old Testament, it is just painfully clear that we need someone who can save us. And so God sent his son, Jesus, to give us a new beginning. We celebrated this last week. On the cross, Jesus saved us from our sin. He took all the punishment for our wrongs on himself so that everyone who believes in him could be forgiven and brought back into a new relationship with God and God's people. On Easter morning, Jesus saved us from death. He rose from the grave so that all who believe in him could have new life on earth and eternal life in heaven. Such good news. And after Jesus rose from the grave, he sparked another new beginning for God's people. We heard that in our reading for this week. Jesus formed a new community called the church. He gave the church the gift of his Holy Spirit to live in us, to work through us, so that we could be part of God's global mission to bring all people back to God again. And here, we've been waiting for it, but here is where our story connects with God's story. Because you and I are invited to be part of the church. Yet even the church can get off track and need new beginnings. Last week, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, a time in history when the church got off track and needed a new beginning. After reading through the scriptures of this beginning of the new church, I began to wonder if maybe we're at a point in history where we need a new beginning as the church. I heard a convicting message recently where the speaker proposed that many people today have lost the true picture of what the church was meant to be and replaced it with counterfeit pictures that get us off track. So in the remainder of the message, I want to look with you at four counterfeit pictures of the church that exist in our world today and contrast them with the picture we see of the church in Acts 2. And I pray that this is a time where God might spark a new beginning in our lives and in our church. One counterfeit picture of the church that exists today is this. Sometimes we picture the church like a movie theater. The church is somewhere we go. We are the audience. Other people put on a show for us. When we walk in, we want to be comfortable. And we expect other people to entertain us, inspire us, maybe even distract us from our everyday lives. When we walk out, we put on our critic's hat, our movie critic's hat, and we rate the performance. Was it thumbs up, thumbs down, knocked it out of the park, went a little bit too long, didn't get anything out of it? And then we go back to our everyday lives until we go again. Now, this may sound harsh, but I can see that pattern in my own life. For many years, I would just go to church without ever really growing in my walk with Jesus. We see a very different picture of the church in Acts 2. There, we don't see people going. We see people growing. When Peter first shared the gospel story, people were cut to the heart and they said, "What should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, turn away from your sin, turn to God and be baptized so you can receive the free gifts of God's forgiveness and Holy Spirit." And they did it. 3,000 people were added to their numbers that day. But it didn't stop there. These early believers were devoted to growing in their faith. That word devoted appears many times in Acts 2. It literally means to attend constantly, to keep at it, to stay committed. The church was committed to growing every day. Every day they met in the temple courts. Every day they read scripture. Every day they prayed. Every day they praised God. Every day they listened to teachings about Jesus. And every day they sought to practice the lessons they were learning so other people might get to know Jesus through their words and actions. If we find ourselves merely going to church and not growing in our walk with Jesus, maybe it's time for a new beginning. Thankfully, we have a God who gives new beginnings. So what might this new beginning look like? Well, for starters, we can renew our commitment to growing in our walk with Jesus every week and every day. We can enter worship in a new way, maybe not just to observe, but to be open to how God might speak and move in our hearts through the various elements of worship. We can leave worship in a new way. Maybe not with critic hats on, but with construction hats on, ready to get to work and put into practice the lessons we've been learning so that other people might get to know Jesus through our words and actions. And finally, we might develop some faith practices that can help us grow on a daily basis. I'll share a few of my daily faith practices with you. First thing in the morning, I do my 15s. I read the Bible for 15 minutes, journal for 15 minutes, and pray for 15 minutes. If 15 sounds too long to you, you can start shorter with ones or twos, whatever works. When I read the Bible, I look for three R's. How does this reveal who God is? How does this relate to my life? And how can I respond with action? Then I spend 15 minutes journaling thoughts about that in my Bible. And finally, I spend 15 minutes praying to God, just talking about what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, lifting up concerns, and then I just zip it. And I'm quiet and listen. And rarely do I hear anything audible, but God usually puts thoughts in my mind and feelings in my heart that guide me. I also have three prayer alarms on my phone, 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m., and those were the traditional regular times of prayer for the early church. And these prayer alarms remind me to stop and focus on God throughout my everyday life. And those are just a few of my practices, but I'd encourage you to think about how can you be devoted to growing in your walk with Jesus every week, every day. If you need help with this, just let me know on your response card. A second counterfeit picture of the church is this. Sometimes we view the church like a store. We look for the selection that we want. Music, preaching, facilities, programs. If we don't find what we like, we go somewhere else. I've heard several people use the language of church shopping. And I'm not saying that church shopping is bad. I think I get what they mean. And I think the church is partly to blame for creating a consumeristic culture. But what I am saying is that we get a very different picture of the church in Acts 2. There we don't see church consumers. We see a church community. The church, we hear in the scriptures, they were together and they held everything in common. I find this fascinating because they didn't actually have everything in common. As the church grew and spread, it drew in people of different races and ethnicities and cultures and opinions and viewpoints. The unifying factor was not what they had in common. It was who they had in common. They had Jesus in common. Jesus was their Lord and Savior, and that bonded them together as a family. And this family was devoted to one another. They did life together. They supported each other through the good times and the bad. These were the kinds of relationships where you could call them at 3 a.m. in the morning if you had an emergency. And if we're experiencing the church more as consumers than as community, then maybe it's time for a new beginning. Thankfully, we have a God who gives new beginnings. So what might this new beginning look like? Well, building community requires effort and commitment. We heard in our reading for the day that the church met together every day in small groups. They met in their homes to learn and pray. They shared meals together at which they celebrated the Lord's Supper. When someone had a need, they helped out. Good Shepherd also encourages people to meet together in small groups. Small groups are just gatherings of 8 to 12 people who meet together on a regular basis, often in homes, where they can learn about the Bible, pray for each other, and support one another through the highs and lows of life. In my current small group, we've been able to support each other through some great achievements, like running a marathon, and also to support each other through some very difficult challenges that we face in marriage, in parenting, in loss and disappointment. But we've been there together and helped each other through. Many of you remember when I first came to Good Shepherd, our basement flooded, and I didn't know what to do. And the first thing I thought of was call the people in my small groups. And so I called, and I called the people in my small group at the time, and literally within minutes, my house was filled with people draining water, pulling carpet, tearing down drywall, cleaning up, and then they came back the next week to help patch things up. And for me as a pastor, that was one of the most touching experiences of community. That's the church. It's what it was meant to be. Now, don't get me wrong. Community in the church can get messy. We are imperfect people. So sometimes we step on toes and hurt feelings. Sometimes there's dysfunction in the family. And I know in moments like that, it's so easy to bail. But that is not what the church does. The church is devoted to each other. We stick together. We hang in. We work through conflict because we are part of the same family with the same Lord who has been so devoted to us in spite of all our issues and shortcomings. We're community. A third counterfeit picture of the church is a restaurant. When we go to a restaurant, we go to be served. Imagine your surprise if you walked in and they handed you a towel before even sitting you down and said, hey, there's some tables that need cleaning. Would you clean them off and then we'll have you in your seat? Imagine your surprise if you're looking at your menu and they say, hey, before you take your order, come back in the kitchen. Help us prepare some food. There's a lot of hungry people out there. You maybe not go back to that restaurant, right? But sometimes we can view the church like a restaurant. We want to be served. Like many organizations, there's often 20% of people in the church who are doing 80% of the work. There's something terribly wrong with that ratio. We see a very different picture in Acts 2. Following Jesus' model, the church didn't exist to be served. The church exists to serve. They were all in. Everybody pitched in to help. Everybody gave. Some people even sold their possessions so that they could give more. This didn't mean that they didn't have any private property. What it meant is they would stop at nothing to serve. If there was a need, they wanted to help meet it. If the church were a restaurant, everybody would work there. And that's a blessing because real growth, real maturity happens more in the kitchen than at the table. This past week, we highlighted one of our super servants in the cafe. Her name is Gail. Maybe you saw it on Facebook. In that interview, she was saying that she's enjoyed building relationships with other team members and the guests who come to the cafe. But she said her greatest reward is her knowledge that she is serving and giving her time to the community in which she lives. If we're experiencing the church as something where we expect to be served rather than to serve, maybe it's time for a new beginning. Thankfully, God gives us new beginnings. And so what might that new beginning look like? Well, like Gail, we can serve with one of our ministries. Cafe, worship, special needs, children, students, adults, small groups. We can grow in how we give financially to forward the purposes of God in and through the church. And we can also find ways to serve those in need around the world. This past week, I was able to connect with some people in our church, members of our church, who came to the United States years ago as refugees. They were displaced from their homes due to political unrest and violence. And they didn't have anywhere to go. But in each of the cases, the Lutheran Church stepped in to serve these families by helping them come to America. In some cases, by helping them find a safe place to live and a job to support their family. And this help, this service was instrumental in the development of their lives and the development of their faith. Hold on just a moment. Is everything okay? Okay. All right. See, that's a picture of what the church looks like, right? When there's a need, we gather around. Can we take a moment to pray? Gracious God, we pray for Hazel. We don't know what's going on in her body right now, but we know you do, that she is your child, that you love her. We pray for health and healing in her body, and pray for those who are coming to care. May she be back to health and wholeness as soon as possible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a different picture of the church. It's a church that doesn't come to be served, but a church that serves. And while they're taking care of Hazel, I just have one final counterfeit picture to lift up before you today. And that's a fitness club. Now, at first, that might sound like a good analogy, right? I mean, you go to church to get in spiritual shape. But if you've ever been to a fitness club, you notice that most of the people there are already in shape. And they just go to get in better shape. It can actually be kind of intimidating and embarrassing to go to a fitness club if you are out of shape. You see all these people who are in really good shape with really big muscles, and they all seem to know how to work these funky, strange machines that are there. You ask them where the bathroom is, and they're like, "It's over there," you know. Like, and so often, the people who really need to go to a fitness club feel like they can't, because they're not in good enough shape, or they don't know enough. And I'm afraid sometimes we view the church in the same way. Many people think the church is a place for people who have it all together. And so they feel like they can't go to church because they're not good enough or they don't know enough. And I think we unintentionally perpetuate this perception. So I've been a pastor long enough to know that every one of us is going through something in their life. And yet what happens on a Sunday is we often come wearing our Sunday best, even if we're not feeling our best. We put on a great big smile, even when we're crying on the inside. We say that we're fine, we're doing great, even when we're not. And so the very people who need the church, the hurting, broken, distracted, they feel like it's not a place for them. We find a very different picture of the church in Acts chapter 2. The church is not a place for people who have already made it. The church is a place for people who need to be made new. Take the two key leaders that we read about this week in God's storyboard, Peter and Paul. Peter had failed Jesus so many times, denied Jesus 3 times. Paul, he had arrested and killed members of the church. These guys were a mess. And yet they were welcomed into the church just as they were and offered the free gifts of God's forgiveness and the power of God's Holy Spirit. God gave these men a new beginning and transformed them into world changers who helped other people find new beginnings with God. The very mission of the church is to reach out to those who need it, the hurt, broken, distracted, so we all can be made new in Jesus. If there's a perception that the church is not a place for people who are hurting and broken, then I think it's time for a new beginning. Thankfully, God gives us new beginnings. And so what might this new beginning look like? Well, it might involve coming to God with our hurt and our brokenness so that we can receive God's comfort, healing, and power. It could involve being honest about our struggles with other people in the church so that we can come alongside one another. I try to do this in my struggle with skin cancer. I've shared that journey with you, and I know I smile a lot, but some days I get really down. And sometimes I struggle in my faith. I try to be honest about that in my sermons and in my small group so that others know it's okay to struggle. And we can lean on one another and support each other through whatever struggle we might be going through. And from there, it's our role to reach out to the hurting, broken, distracted in our world and share with them the grace, love, fellowship, forgiveness, power, healing, and hope that are found in Jesus alone. I got an email this week from a woman who tragically lost her husband a year ago to suicide while she was pregnant with their first child. Understandably, she was overwhelmed with grief and doubts in her faith. Yet this woman was able to find healing and hope through our faith community. It started with listening to sermons online and then worshiping with Good Shepherd. And now a year later, this woman is starting her own blog to tell the story of how God has stood by her and how God is helping her to heal and to move forward in a new way as a single mom. This is powerful stuff. Please don't miss this. The church is not a place. It's a community where people can be made new, where the lost can be found, the hurting can find healing, the desperate can find hope, the broken can be made new. And so if you don't have it all together, you're in the right place. You can bring your pain, your brokenness to the only one who can make us new. And it is our role as a church to reach out and welcome others in so that all of us can be made new in Jesus. So who could you reach out to? How could you tell the story of what God is doing in and through your life? In Acts, we find the true picture of the church. It's not a movie theater or a store or a restaurant or a fitness club. It's meant to be a community where people are made new, grow in their walk with Jesus, build deep, lasting relationships, give, serve, and share the good news of Jesus with others. If you are living out this picture of the church, way to go. You are part of something of eternal significance, and nothing can take that away from you. But if you are not yet living out this picture, I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to feel guilty. Just maybe. It's time for a new beginning. And thankfully, we have a God who gives new beginnings. And that new beginning can start right now. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I would encourage you to prayerfully consider how you might respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name in your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, and then you can put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. There's a code at the top. If you scan that, you can fill it all out from your phone. And give you a few minutes and then close us in prayer. Gracious God, we pray once again for Hazel. We pray that you would be with her and all those who are caring for her. And I'm so thankful that we get to be part of a church where we have people around us who can care for us and support us through the highs and lows of life. Because God, we all need your new beginnings. And this morning, we confess the ways that we've gotten off track. We confess the times where we've treated your church more like a movie theater or a store or a restaurant or a fitness club. And so, God, we come to you today thankful that you are a God who gives new beginnings. And I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before received your free gifts of forgiveness and your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that they would make today their day of Pentecost, their day of new beginnings, and start a new life on earth with a hope of a new future in heaven. God, we ask that you would give us wisdom to know how to apply what we've learned today and the courage to do what you're calling us to do so that Good Shepherd might always be a community where people are made new, grow in their walk with Jesus, build deep, lasting relationships, give, serve, and share the good news of Jesus so that we all can be made new in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.